Namaste.
The flower of all of our practices is often referred to as equanimity. And equanimity has nothing to do with horses. It's a quality of steadiness, a steadiness in the midst of no matter what is happening externally. And we develop this steadiness through our practice. We often think of our training as training in awareness, training in attention, but it is equally a training in the heart. So just as you focus on being fully present, you notice all the ways you're not present. In that same way, when you look to establish a steadiness of the heart, you begin to notice all the ways that you're shut down or closed off or armored. So when you begin to focus on compassion, you notice how you're not compassionate toward yourself and toward others. We begin to see how stingy we are with kindness and compassion. I wanted to share a little bit this afternoon about one of the most, perhaps the most challenging and yet one of the most fruitful practices that has to do with reclaiming the heart. And that is a reflection on forgiveness. One of my strongest experiences in this, in the classical practices, was maybe about 12 or 13 years ago. I was president of a large, kind of sprawling nonprofit, and it was just time for me to leave. And I told the board it was time to go, and like any large organization, it's never really that smooth when you transition. And part of the transition involved some conflicts with some people who I thought were allies, but in order to preserve their own jobs, in my estimation, kind of threw me under the bus, which was very hurtful. And so as a way of finding my center again, I did what I felt was the most efficient thing I could do, and that was to do a month-long retreat at Spirit Rock. And during the month, you undergo a training in the heart practices. So for the first week, you reflect on compassion for self as part of the heart practice. You then spend some time reflecting on your benefactors, you know, those who care about you, those who are, those who wish you well. And it's sort of like training wheels for heart practice, because it's kind of easy to offer those who you know wish you well, to wish them ease and safety, etc. The next week, the training was to focus on what's called the neutral person, to choose someone in your life with whom you have no particular attraction but no particular aversion, and they become the focus of your practice. So for that week, I chose our retreat manager, who struck me as a nice but unremarkable person. And so for an hour every day, I just was contemplating wishing her well and her happiness. And about the third or fourth day of that week, I was just sitting in the hall, and she walked into the room, and my heart soared. It was like, my beloved has just arrived. And I realized, somewhat to my horror, I was falling in love with the retreat manager. And that's very much how it works. Where the attention goes, the energy flows. If you want to fall in love with someone, or when you do fall in love with someone, you maximize what you do like and you minimize what you don't like. And if you want to expedite leaving a relationship, focus on what you don't like and de-emphasize what you do like. And so the heart is opening throughout the course of this week, or throughout the course of the month. And the final week, we were then guided to reflect on what's called the difficult person or the enemy. And I knew exactly who to choose. And so for the course of that week, this one particular person, I kept dragging myself back to wishing this person well. I had my interview with Jack Kornfield during that week, and I reported how I was doing And I said, I have come to realize I can utterly forgive this person on the condition that I know he burns in hell for eternity. Which I thought was improvement. But then a remarkable thing happened for me. I was able to do a role reversal. I was able to really sense or feel or imagine what it was like from his perspective. And I realized that he was terrified of losing his job and terrified of what might happen in the insecurity of this changeover in administrations. So while he did not act skillfully, I understood that out of his fear, he was acting in a self-preservational way. And when I was able to do that role reversal, when I was able to sense his pain, my heart began to open. And I began to feel a space in my heart that I had not felt before. The classic example is, imagine you're walking in a park and you see a cute little puppy in the leaves, and you go over to pet the puppy, and suddenly the puppy lunges at you and tries to bite you, and you jump back. Your relationship with the puppy has suddenly changed dramatically. But then you see that the puppy's leg is caught in a trap. Suddenly your relationship changes immediately because you see the suffering. You see how it's acting out of suffering. And that becomes the practice, is to recognize wherever you have been wounded, where the other person's leg has been caught in a trap. And to reflect, whenever you have been unskillful, the harm that you have caused others, consciously or unconsciously, through your thoughts or through your speech or through your action, has come out of some wound. And the practice becomes not only seeing that, but really opening your heart and your whole body to that wound, and to bring to it understanding and to bring to it compassion. If we do not pause and reclaim our hearts in relationship to each other, we stay perpetually caught. Well, the Buddha said it's like holding on to our anger is like picking up a hot coal to throw at someone and not realizing that you are the one who's being burned. The other analogy, that holding on to resentment is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. We fail to recognize that we are poisoning ourselves by holding on to thoughts of ill will and blame and hatred. So these practices are not easy. When you turn your attention to forgiveness, it's very helpful to remember a few key things. The first being that forgiveness is a slow process. It's very rarely where suddenly everything snaps and you get it and it's over. What most people find is there is, over time, kind of a lessening of the wound and a gradual increase in empathy. The second is to recall that forgiveness does not mean condoning the other person's actions. The phrase I have come to like is to forgive and remember. That you can forgive someone their actions, but never allow those actions to occur again. Forgiveness is not something you can make happen. You can't will forgiveness. But what you can do is cultivate the most appropriate internal environment for forgiveness to happen. You can create an internal space for it to occur. I wanted to read a little story before we do our forgiveness meditation. This is from a few years ago. In Riverhead, New York, August 15th, Every bone in her face was shattered last November when Victoria Ruvolo was struck by a 20-pound frozen turkey hurled through her windshield by a Long Island teenager. But when she came to court on Monday to hear the teenager accept responsibility for nearly killing her, she was there not for retribution, but for his redemption. The teenager, Ryan Cushing, pleaded guilty in Suffolk County Court to a reduced charge of second-degree assault. Tall and lanky and too thin for his gray suit, Mr. Cushing, 19, nearly whispered his admission that he threw the turkey from a rear window of a speeding car, hitting Ms. Ruffalo's car with such force that it bent her steering wheel before striking her. Surgeons who rebuilt her face using metal plates and screws said the impact might have caused lasting brain damage. But prosecutors say that Ms. Ruffalo's recovery has been remarkable and that she is once again back at work and living on her own. Accompanied by several friends and relatives, Ms. Ruvolo, a 44-year-old office manager, came to court wearing a black pantsuit and a gold cross chain for her first face-to-face meeting with Mr. Cushing. Stopping to speak to her on his way out of the courtroom, Mr. Cushing choked out an apology and began to cry. For an intense, emotional few minutes, Ms. Ruvolo alternately embraced him tightly, stroked his face, and patted his back as he sobbed uncontrollably. Many of the two dozen people in court, prosecutors, court officers, and reporters, choked back tears. "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry," Mr. Cushing said over and over again. "I didn't mean it." Most of their exchange was whispered, but at one point, Ms. Ruvolo's advice to him was just barely audible. "It's okay. It's okay," she said. "I just want you to make the best life it can be." When Mr. Cushing is sentenced on October 17th, he's expected to receive no more than a six-month jail term and 5 years probation. And Judge Barbara Kahn said psychological counseling would be a condition of probation. Indicted on a charge of first-degree assault and other serious offenses, Mr. Cushing could have faced up to 25 years in prison if convicted. Instead, the Suffolk County District Attorney said he agreed to a plea bargain only at Ms. Ruvolo's insistence. She asked prosecutors repeatedly about the teenager and his background and insisted on a lenient sentence. With crime victims, normally they have just the opposite reaction, and even death does not satisfy him, said. "She's an extraordinary person." Mr. Cushing, a student at the State University of New York, suffers from impaired vision and cannot drive. Prosecutors described him as passive, shy, and a follower. The prosecutor said a conviction would have required that he knew that he threw the turkey or could gravely kill or injure someone, and it's clear he did not intend these terrible consequences. Mr. Cushing stopped to talk to reporters on his way out of the courthouse. "I love this woman. She's a wonderful woman." "I'm not so sure I could be as forgiving. But I'd like to share that story because it's an example of someone who can." In this guided reflection, I'll be inviting you to think of a specific situation or a specific person with whom you'd like to experiment. And you might like to choose someone who isn't your lifelong nemesis, maybe scale it back a little bit, just to try on the technology of the practice. It could be with just someone you feel some degree of separation. And all these practices of metta are somewhat artificial. So I'll be offering some guidance. The words may resonate for you, they may not. I'll offer some guidance, have some space for you to reflect. and we'll explore first the intention to forgive yourself. I was always struck by how counterintuitive this is. When I think of those who've done harm to me, I've often wondered, why would I ask forgiveness for myself first? But the Buddha spoke of how we create harm to others through three different ways. On the grossest level, we create harm through our actions. On a more subtle level, we create harm through our speech. And on the most subtle level, we create harm through our thoughts. And I've recognized that when I explore forgiving another, that I really need to begin with myself. Well, I may not have been harmful through my actions. Perhaps I was unwise through my speech and certainly through my thoughts of harboring ill will. So you begin by reflecting on forgiveness toward yourself to begin to unhook. Asking forgiveness for yourself in any way you may have harmed another. And then reflecting on what it means to offer forgiveness to someone who has done you harm. So if you like, you can close your eyes. You might let your attention come into your breath. You may find this practice to be most powerful by being as specific as you can. Bringing into mind someone with whom you feel some separation, where you feel some harm has been done. And you might take some time to bring this a little more alive. If you're a visual person, you might create some visual representation, maybe a still image, maybe a moving image. It might be helpful to bring in some auditory memory, sounds, words, maybe tone of voice. And as you breathe, you might now explore the kinesthetic of what it feels like inside as you reflect on this person. And sensing the heart. And as you begin, you might just make contact with your aspiration, to contact your intention around forgiveness. And to be gentle and open in the process. Reflecting on the intention to forgive yourself as you reflect on this situation. Can you locate the contraction, the pain that may be associated with this? Can you sense how your leg may have been caught in a trap? Your confusion, your unmet needs that have driven the behavior behind creating harm toward another. Reflecting on how we create harm to others through our own pain. You might, if you like, bring your hand to your heart and to soften. And to reflect on the following words. I allow myself to be imperfect. I allow myself to make mistakes. I allow myself to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. I forgive myself. If I cannot forgive myself now, may I forgive myself sometime in the future. I see and feel the harm I've caused, and I intend to forgive myself. Over these next few minutes, as you breathe, reflecting on your intention to release and to forgive yourself. And sensing how you're holding your intention to forgive yourself, and noticing if there is resistance or numbness, make room for this, forgiving this. Just sensing how you might be gentle toward yourself. Reflecting now on the harm you may have caused another. Again, letting this be specific through your actions or your speech or your thoughts. Each of us in our own sense of hurt or fear have harmed others. And let this situation come in close. And take this time to sense and feel how the other may have felt hurt or rejected. You might very softly whisper or say their name inside, reflecting on the following phrases. Please allow me to be imperfect. Please allow me to make mistakes. Please allow me to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. Please forgive me. If you cannot forgive me now, please try to forgive me sometime in the future. The power of the practice comes from your sincerity. I see and feel the pain I have caused you. And please forgive me, if not now, sometime in the future. Taking these minutes to reflect, Is it possible to imagine feeling forgiven? If you were forgiven, what would that feel like inside? And turning your attention now to the intention to forgive another who has caused you harm. As you deepen the breath, again, just sense the nature of the injury, the nature of the internal harm. For these next few moments, just recall the conditions. What happened? Can you see it clearly? Can you bring your attention to the vulnerability? And as you sense the pain or the harm, can you bring a quality of loving presence to this? I care about this suffering. Can you allow a sense of warmth, compassion, of empathy to flow, to move through your heart and body? Is there a sense of what this tenderness, this vulnerability needs from you right now? A sense of how it wants you to be with it right now. And as you reflect on the other, can you sense how their leg is caught in a trap? Can you sense their suffering, their fear? Reflecting on the following phrases. Just as I allow myself to be imperfect, so I allow you to be imperfect. I allow you also to make mistakes. I allow you to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. I forgive you. If I cannot forgive you now, may I forgive you sometime in the future. I see and feel the hurt that you have caused, and I forgive you now. And if I'm not ready now, sometime in the future, my intention is not to push you out of my heart. Taking these minutes to reflect on the offering of forgiveness. If it was possible to forgive the other, what would that feel like? What would that be like inside? I'll read these three stanzas. And you might just let the words wash over you to reflect on your intention to free the heart. The first stanza, extending forgiveness to yourself. I allow myself to be imperfect. I allow myself to make mistakes. I allow myself to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. I forgive myself. If I cannot forgive myself now, may I forgive myself sometime in the future. And reflecting, if you could forgive yourself now, or even partially, what would that feel like inside? The second stanza, asking forgiveness from others for the harm that you have done to them. Please allow me to be imperfect. Please allow me to make mistakes. Please allow me to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. Please forgive me. If you cannot forgive me now, please try to forgive me sometime in the future. And reflecting, if you were forgiven, what might that feel like inside? Third stanza, extending forgiveness for those who have harmed you. Just as I allow myself to be imperfect, so I allow you to be imperfect. I allow you also to make mistakes. I allow you to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. I forgive you. If I cannot forgive you now, may I forgive you sometime in the future. If you could forgive, even partially, what would that feel like on the inside? Letting this practice now fall away. Letting go of any image of the other. And in your own way, sense the landscape of your heart right now. whether it be open or closed, agitated or tender. And notice if there's any way you've judged yourself as to how you've moved through this meditation. Anything that comes into awareness, can you hold this with compassion and kindness? And we'll take our final minutes together in silence.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.